Hey guys, welcome to the Learn Feng Shui podcast, where you'll learn Feng Shui from a classical point of view, taking out the myth and superstition. So if you're interested in learning Feng Shui, Chinese astrology, all things Chinese metaphysics, as well as the superstitions and myths that connect it all, you'll enjoy learning Feng Shui with me. Hey guys, welcome to the Christmas episode, holiday special of the Learn Feng Shui podcast. Today we're going to talk about all things Christmas. I'm answering some listener questions on how we can apply Feng Shui for the holidays. Welcome to today's episode, a little bit more laid back as we go into the Christmas season. I'm Candace Berlanga, certified feng shui practitioner, red ribbon professional with International Feng Shui Guild, and of course the host of the Learn Feng Shui podcast. So today, as mentioned, we're going to talk about feng shui for Christmas, feng shui for the holidays. How can we incorporate feng shui into our holiday decor? And I answer some listener questions. Specifically, we're going to talk about today where to place your tree, color schemes for Christmas, fireplace feng shui. I thought that was an interesting one. And we're just going to cover just some general holiday tips for incorporating feng shui into your holiday season. All right, guys. So I posed the question on social media a couple weeks ago, which I think I'll start doing this monthly and just kind of dedicate a episode each month to questions on a specific subject. So I asked, you know, what are your questions for feng shui for the holidays, feng shui for Christmas, you know, Christmas themed episode, what would your burning question be? And I had some really good ones on there. If you're not a part of the Facebook group, it's the Learn Feng Shui community on Facebook. It is linked below in the link tree. And so it just says like Learn Feng Shui community or Facebook group or something. So yeah, come join us over there. I've had a big influx of members, so I'm trying to keep it active. And I want to know what you guys want to know about feng shui, you know, because that'll best tell me, you know, just ask me questions. And so Stephanie had asked, where's the best placement for a Christmas tree this year? Colors for lights and ornaments if possible. And so there is definitely specifics. You can place a Christmas tree in a specific area. A Christmas tree will activate an area because it has lights, and lighting, you know, will kind of energetically activate that space. And so where you could put it can be quite impactful. And I know that people, you know, when you think of feng shui, you tend to think of like putting something in a specific location in the room, or you think of it as the art of placement. You know, some people think of it that way. And so definitely, you know, I understand the need to want to put a Christmas tree in the right spot. But for that reason, we have to kind of look at where it's practical. Where can we practically put it? You know, it has to be a space that makes sense to us. And although there is areas and sectors and stuff in our home that energetically support the fire energy, just putting it in a good location that makes sense to you is going to be your best bet. You know, maybe you have a traditional area that you usually put your tree at. You know, what if you want to put it in the dining room because you eat Christmas dinner there, you know, or you open your presents in a specific area, you know. You want your tree to be seen, you know, you don't want to be hidden away. And so, yeah, just placing it in an area that makes the most sense to you, a spot where it can really be enjoyed. One of the first purchases that we made when we moved into our house, the year we bought it, we moved in right before Thanksgiving. And so for Christmas, we had this really tall ceilings in our living room, and my husband was like, I've always wanted a big Christmas tree. And so we went and found a 10-foot tall Christmas tree, and I'll never not have a 10-foot tall Christmas tree again because I love it. I absolutely love it. And I love putting it in the big window up at the front of my home because I want it to be seen from the outside. You know, I just think it's so beautiful. And so, yeah, a spot that you like, a spot that makes sense to you. You don't have to try to have this perfect spot, you know, for the tree for feng shui purposes. But I will say, you know, the location within the room can definitely be worked out. You know, if you do BTB and you use that Bagua, you can put it in the fame and reputation area that supports fire. You could put it in the knowledge and cultivation or the relationship area. And those are both earth energies, and they support the fire energy, you know, fire The fire produces the earth, and so it's very supportive to that energy. And so those would be my suggestions for the location. Now let's look at color schemes. So someone had messaged also, and they asked what to include like on a wreath. And for that, I would say it'd be the same kind of as the color schemes, you know, colors for lights and ornaments that was asked previously. The second part of that question here. So you can kind of apply this also. And so when we think of Christmas, you know, we have this energy already. So a Christmas tree is this energy of wood, and it also has the fire energy because it's a tall pointy shape. And so that would be considered a fire energy. And of course the wood, because it's a tree, even if it's not, you know, a real tree. And so we kind of look at the symbology. We can, you know, look at those color theories, and we can look at what those elements represent to us. And so, again, looking at the fire energy, that's kind of that happiness and that feeling of Christmas, you know, that we get this time of year, kind of think back as a child on a really fun Christmas time. And it was just that feeling of excitement, you know, getting ready to be out for the holiday season, you know, seeing the Christmas ornaments go up and just being generally excited about the holiday. That's that feeling of Christmas, you know. And the wood represents family, connection, expansion, and growth, you know. And so we can add all that in by adding different colors and shapes to our trees or our ornaments or wreaths. And for that inspiration, that purification, that happiness that fire brings, we can add reds, deep purples, hot pinks, triangular shapes, lights, and the pointy shapes, you know. For wood, that symbolizes new beginnings, growth, self-growth, expansion, family, and connection. We can do greens, light purples, long, skinny, rectangular, angular shapes. And then, of course, we do have some people like the live trees. I know I ordered a live centerpiece from some little girls that were selling, you know, some stuff to go to camp. And it just made my house smell beautiful. My house smells like evergreens now. And so, yeah, live plants, poinsettias, you know, we kind of have that. I know I do an episode, The Three Friends of Winter, you know, so we can kind of include those, which are the plants of pine, plum blossom, and bamboo. So there might be some alternative plants you want to add to your decor and your scheme. And those are said to represent strength, perseverance, longevity, steadfastness, and resilience, because they're very resilient. They're some of the only plants that still are growing in the winter season. They actually thrive in the winter season. So we can add that in, and that all, of course, adds the element of wood and all the things I described above. And so metal, if we want to add a metal energy, we can think of communication, celebration, joy. And this can be added by adding iridescence, the whites, the metallic or rainbow colors, circular shapes, and even some of the actions we take. So like, for example, drinking wine. Wine is represented by the metal element, you know, and so we can add it in that way. I'm all for a glass of wine. And think of that connection we have with our family. They kind of talk about wine and song, you know, it makes you chatty. You know, we want to talk to our family over a glass of wine, you know, and so that represents that metal energy. If we want to add a little bit of water energy, which represents wisdom, movement, progress, we can add blues, blacks, and even like icicles and wavy type shapes. And if we've set out to do like a tablescape, you can do crystals and stemware. That's really nice. So if we think of earth, the earth energy, we can do, which represents like that comfort, that nurturing, the mother energy, you know. Which I feel like makes your holiday kind of cozy. You can add like those muted yellows. The gold also represent the earth energy. Square shapes, but also cooking and baking do represent the element of earth. It's that nurturing energy. So those are some kind of guides for color schemes for that holiday season. And if you'd like to learn a little bit more or want more specifics on the Christmas tree, or you're just a visual learner and maybe you just want to go in more depth, I highly recommend you check out the video I'm going to link below. It's my feng shui colleague, Wendy Yaoqing. She does more of the BTB style of feng shui. So if you follow that, you might want to check that out as far as placement goes, but the as far as like the colors and elements and everything like that was heavily inspired by her video and including that in today's show. So thanks to her, and I'll link that below if you'd like to check that out. Highly recommend it. All right, so next question, Amanda asked, what about fireplace feng shui? And, you know, I was like, I could probably do a full episode on this because I started brainstorming last night and I was like, there is a lot to say about a fireplace. And so obviously, again, just like the Christmas tree, the sector of your house that has this fireplace in it, obviously it's going to be activated by the fire energy. And again, there's areas in our home that energetically support fire and some that do not. You know, if we think of that Bagua or that mapping, the energy mapping of a home, you know, and the areas that support fire are going to be like the south, the northeast, and the southwest. You know, those are going to be those are earth and fire sectors, and so those will support it. And again, if you do BTB, it's going to be the family reputation, the self-knowledge cultivation, and the relationship sectors are those sectors that can support that fire energy. And so another thing, so, you know, we there's definitely assessments we can do that are very, that can be very detailed, you know, about a fireplace, because again, it is activating area. And if it's not a good area, you know, there could be issues. Usually a fire can create health issues, just like the way a stove, you know, if it's in a negative location, it can create some health issues long term. And so to me, the fireplace would be much the same. But honestly, it kind of depends on how often you use it. You know, if you're just using it kind of seasonally, then I don't think that it's going to have an ill effect on your health, even if it's in, you know, kind of a weird area. You know, maybe you want to check like the flying stars for the year. And if it's something you don't use a lot and you're going to want to use it one time, I think you'll be just fine. But kind of going back to like what we said for the Christmas tree, the location within a room or the home, does it make sense to you? I think we've all been in a home where we felt like the fireplace was like in a really odd spot or like a weird spot. And you're like, I would never use that fireplace. It's so weird looking, you know. Maybe your intuition is telling you something's off about that fireplace. And, you know, maybe you can avoid that. So another thing about the fireplace is that, you know, we don't have So back in the day when they used to do, you know, make homes and stuff like that, they would usually have a hearth in the home that would be kind of central to the home. And it would not only just be used to warm the home, but to also cook on. And so we have this kind of, you know, connotation of, you know, this fire that was kept going all the time. You know, fires were not generally put out, you know, just like kind of what I talked about with the cooking god, it was only generally put out maybe one time a year and then relit or something like that, just kind of symbolically cleaned and stuff like that. And so we don't generally have that. The closest we have to that would be our stove. We don't use our stoves a lot, you know, but then the fireplace that does have real fire to it, you know. And so when we kind of look at it that way, you know, it's not as impactful in our today's society when we don't use it for a daily use, you know? And so to me, I think just doesn't make sense, you know, making sure there's not like some kind of health issues in the home after continually using it. I think you should be fine. But even just keeping it clean and keeping it safe, you know, we want to make sure we're practicing safety around our fireplace, making sure it's cleaned out so it doesn't have debris that could, you know, possibly catch a home on fire or anything like that. And, you know, one of the ways we can really use that though is as a family gathering area. So just like I talked about a minute ago, you know, it was this family gathering area people used to warm up, you know, it represents, you know, this happiness, this inspiration, and of course the purification, because it's that fire energy, you know, and so it represents all these things, but also it has that grounding energy, that earth energy, because it's made out of masonry and stone, you know, it's probably the closest thing we have in our home to an old fashioned hearth, you know? So that earth energy, remember, represents that nurturing, comforting energy and like that motherly love. If we think of a mother's cooking, you know, it almost represents that type of thing too. I use this example because I actually did this as a topic for my radio show, but bringing it to the podcast now. But I use the example, my husband's last night was talking to my brother-in-law, and he was like kind of bragging, like, "Oh, mom made me some food today," you know. And again, my husband's a Hispanic, you know, so we love Mexican cooking, you know. And his mom made some fresh tortillas, and she made like some, you know, some meat and stuff, and she sent him over a plate. And I just thought that was so sweet. But I was, you know, kind of telling him, there's nothing like a mother's cooking, you know. If you had a mother that made that good home cooking, there's just like something very healing and nurturing and like loving, comforting about the just a warm plate of like home cooked like food from your childhood, you know. And so kind of think of the fireplace representing that same type of thing. And so doing things like roasting your marshmallows, making s'mores, you know, things like that. You know, if there's popcorn, you can make in the, you know, I have a little popper that you can stick in the under the fire and make popcorn, you know. And so you can also add decor that makes you feel like Christmas, you know, things that you remember, those core memories of Christmas. You can, you know, maybe put things there, like those holiday heirlooms that we kind of collect over time. They don't have to be valuable, but something that reminds you of your childhood and that kind of motherly affection, you know. And I think that's how we can best use a fireplace, you know, use it for those family gatherings and really think of it as an area that connects us to our family. And one thing I'll add to that that I almost forgot to say is that, you know, I live in a warmer climate. I live in Texas, and we don't get super harsh, not all year long. So it'll be cold, but it's not super harsh. And so if you're using the fireplace less, you know, maybe you're like, I really want to use that fireplace more, swap out for some candles, okay? You could just do the battery candles if you don't really want the open flame, or I've seen a lot of people and they kind of swap out and they don't put wood in there, and maybe they just burn some candles in the fireplace. So you can still have that fire energy in the area without having to light a fire. I also had a friend reach out to me afterwards, and she was like, you know, I had a question. What do you do if you're traveling and you're not home during the holidays? And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. I thought that was a great question. You know, my answer to that, I think, would be to take something that reminds you of home, something that's comforting to you. You know, maybe you have a little family photo you travel with, you know, just depending, maybe your family's not around. Maybe you're even just estranged from family, you know. Do something that brings you comfort during the holiday. It doesn't have to be a family photo, especially if there's some, you know, contention there. You're not super close or anything. But something that makes you feel good around the holidays, you know, is what you're going to want to do. So that could also just be an item of clothing that makes you feel good. Maybe you have a tradition, you know, you eat a certain meal, or you know, you have a certain treat that you usually use around the eat around the holidays, or some sort of tradition. You know, maybe if you're not in town, maybe you find a little, you know, holiday event to go to, or something like that. You know, really just try to make it your own. You know, sometimes we are without family, sometimes we are working, and sometimes we are maybe we're out of town and we're traveling for that time. And so just finding something that you can find comfort in, I think, is a very, very relevant. You know, again, you can't, it's hard to apply feng shui when you're at a hotel or you're at you know, a spot that's not your home. And so I think just the action and the activities that you do around that time that make you feel comforted, make you feel good, I think that's really important to observe and do too. I think there's really been a rise, honestly, I've seen it the past like 10 years, but really with the rise of social media, Instagram, having these perfect Christmases, beautiful trees, a spotless home, you know, just a perfectly executed and curated Christmas decor and items, you know, I think it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. And, you know, that's perfectly okay to do. However, we do also want to make sure that we're keeping those memories of Christmas. You know, it's something we've celebrated our whole life, you know. Put your kids' tacky ornaments up somewhere. I'll just say it. You're going to get handprint ornaments. You're going to get little pictures of them making silly faces tacked onto an ornament. You know, you're going to get unperfect hand-painted things. treasure those things, put those things up. Again, maybe it's a thing where you could make a little, garland across the hearth or the fireplace there, and you could put the ornaments there, So yeah, just make it really special. Make sure your children know that, let that be a memory for them, Let that be a memory of putting up their items proudly, little items that they made. And I think every year when we take those items out of the boxes, and we really do think like, oh, this was this. I remember this year I got that, or I remember putting this on the Christmas tree every year. I know my mom bequeathed me a bunch of ornaments from our childhood, and I really do like putting those ornaments up on the tree. And every year we kind of look through them, and we're like, oh, I remember, this from the 80s. When I was a kid, I remember decorating our tree with this. So, yeah, just make it magical, make it fun. Don't be so, curated, and it doesn't have to be that way. If you are one that does that, I mean, that's again perfectly fine. But make sure you do find a spot for those items that hold that meaning. And speaking of items that have meaning, if you have items that have a bad association with them, maybe you went Christmas shopping and picked out the ornaments you have now with your ex-husband or a friend that you're estranged with or something like that, then it might be time to update your Christmas ornaments, So get rid of things that have bad associations with them, have negative associations, or maybe you were just in a different, season of life, and that kind of reminds you of in that place you used to be, So yeah, we don't want things around us. We want our homes to support us. We want our homes to feel good, to come home to. And when we look at that and we're like, oh man, I don't even want to decorate because I remember buying that ornament with, that asshole or whatever, then get rid of it, And that also includes photos of family members or friends that we're just really not friends with anymore. So might be time to start something new, go into a new season of life, guys. And just kind of a closing thought here. I had a friend that lost her mom this year, and it was actually in a very short amount of time she lost her aunt, and then she lost her mother. And so it's the first holiday season without her mom. And she just kind of sent me a message earlier, and she was asking, how I was, whatever. And I was asking her how she's holding up, if she's ready for Christmas, and she's just not in it. She doesn't want to celebrate. And I told her, I can't imagine, the first Christmas without, a loved one. That has to be so hard, especially when they were the ones that made it special and made it magical. And so to that I would say, do something to honor that loved one. You don't have to celebrate Christmas, you don't have to be happy, you don't have to have this false, positivity, you don't have to fake it. Don't do any of those things. Feel your feelings, be in your grief. That's okay. You don't have to do any of the things that, anybody wants you to do. You can totally, be mad. You can be mad and be upset and be angry and feel all the things, but do something to honor that relative. Maybe there's something that they would do around the holidays to that was usually associated with them. So for example, when we lost my husband's grandmother, she always had the big Christmas gathering at her house, and she, no matter how, I mean, we have tons of cousins and stuff like that, my husband, but she always had a little bag for each of the kids, a little stocking or bag. She put little treats and all kinds of little things. And now my mother-in-law does that. She wants to be the one that has like the little stocking for the kids, And so, she kind of took on that role. She now does the, hosts the holiday and has the cooking and everything. And so maybe that's the part you want to fill. Maybe you want to fill in the part that they left off at. Maybe you want to take that on. Or maybe it's just something that you guys used to do together during the holiday season. Maybe you guys used to go look at Christmas lights or go see Santa or whatever. Continue that tradition with your family, and think of them, kind of honor them during that time. Maybe you just get together and share memories, or maybe you just cook or bake something that they used to bake, And so just doing something, I think, that has an association and honoring them, can be, it makes it feel like you're not ignoring your feelings. You don't want to ignore your feelings. I know for Thanksgiving, my daughter, her friend lost their dad in 2020. I mean, so it's only been 3 years, you know, very recent still. And I know that they actually took him, you know, they have the urn and they actually just took him and they set him up for, you know, at Thanksgiving or the Thanksgiving, you know, they had a little spot for him, which I thought was amazing. You know, so, I mean, doing something like that, if it's going to make you feel better, if it makes you, you know, honor that person, if it makes you feel like connected to them still and it's still very fresh, then do those things. You know, I highly suggest doing something to honor that loved one. All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's holiday-centered episode. I just kind of wanted to make a light, fun one. I'll be again asking questions again for January and, you know, seeing what you guys want to know. You guys have an amazing holiday. I will be gone the next 2 weeks, 22nd and 29th. I'll be back January 5th with January Energy Update. And we'll be going into the Year of the Dragon pretty soon after that. So we'll be getting all that together. Don't forget, I want to do a New Year's party where we do the Zodiac sign forecasts. And I'm actually waiting on my book to come for of the 2024 Chinese Almanac, which I get all my information out of for the forecast. And so I'm waiting to do that. I'll have that again, the announcement in January. But I'm thinking it's going to be towards the middle of January. So stay tuned for that. I want to have you guys on, do a little live, you know, session and just kind of make it fun. So we'll be ringing in the Year of the Dragon with our Zodiac forecast. So look forward to that. Anyway, you guys have an amazing Christmas, an amazing New Year's, and I'll catch you guys in 2024.
For a free energy mapping of your floor plan, please check the link in the show notes. To support today's podcast, go to learnfengshui.com, sign up for emails, leave a review, and share with your family and friends.